Well, the return last week of 13 women and children linked to the Islamic State terror group has ignited fresh political debate and legal challenge almost without precedent. A woman arrested at Sydney Airport has been charged with terror-related offences, while two women who landed in Melbourne have been charged with offences related to slavery. They're due to apply for bail today. Dr. James Cocaine is the New South Wales Anti-Slavery Commissioner and joins me in our Sydney studio. James Cocaine, welcome back to Breakfast.
Good morning, Sally.
Can you explain to us the charges that these two women are now facing in relation to slavery?
Certainly. So the AFP has announced four slavery-related charges against 53-year-old Khoza Abbas and two charges against 31-year-old Zainab Ahmed. Slavery has been prosecuted before in Australia under Division 270 of the Commonwealth Criminal Code, but this is the first time it's being prosecuted under Division 268. And the significance there is that that's the division that deals with international crimes such as war crimes and crimes against humanity. Enslavement is illegal at all times under international law, with no exceptions or derogations. And there aren't really many things in that category, genocide, torture, to our other examples. So the fact it's being prosecuted in this way has some significance for how the prosecution will proceed. To secure a conviction, the prosecution will have to prove on the evidence not only that the defendant engaged in or was otherwise liable for the specific acts that are alleged to constitute enslavement, but also that this was part of a widespread and systematic attack against a civilian population. That means that the prosecution is likely to explore the circumstances of the conduct involving the reign of terror of ISIS in Syria and Iraq, and specifically the attacks on the Yazidi population in 2014. Many of the survivors of those attacks now live here in Australia, and my thoughts are really with them this morning. Around 6,000 to 7,000 Yazidis are thought to have been enslaved in those attacks that began in Sinjar in 2014. Men and boys were frequently enslaved as fighters and women and girls as domestic and sex slaves. It's obviously for the courts to decide on the evidence whether the terms of the offence are actually made out, but what's important here is this will be the first exploration of this kind of chattel slavery, which ISIS really revived after about 150 years of not seeing it around the world. ISIS issued manuals to fighters and supporters on how to buy, sell, and manage slaves. It ran online and open air slave markets. And as I said, my first thoughts are really with the survivors of those attacks who are living amongst us here in Australia today.
So in terms of these alleged international offences, was Australia obliged to bring charges?
Not obliged in the terms of under which they've been brought. They've been brought as crimes against humanity, and there is not necessarily under international law an obligation to bring those charges. But it certainly sends a very strong, powerful signal of the rule of law here in Australia.
You're listening to Radio National Breakfast. I'm speaking with Dr. James Cocaine, the New South Wales Anti-Slavery Commissioner. Given that this allegedly happened in a war zone and it's on the other side of the world, how difficult is it to gather evidence for these sorts of cases, or were prosecutors getting ready prior to the return of these women?
Obviously, I'm not across the details of the brief, but there have certainly been indications in public reporting that the AFP has been preparing for this situation for some time. And the fact that we have not only alleged perpetrators, but also alleged victims here in Australia of these specific offences should make the path to the development of a convincing evidentiary brief more straightforward than it is, for example, in some other war crimes cases that are being contemplated by the criminal justice system at the moment in Australia, where victims remain overseas.
You work closely with the Yazidi community that you've been referring to here in Australia. How important is this trial as a moment for members of that community?
Hugely important. There have been efforts overseas to identify and bring to justice perpetrators of these crimes, and some women here in Australia have contributed to some of those international efforts. But to see it actually happening here in Australia will, I think, if the investigation and prosecution prove ultimately successful, provide a considerable degree of comfort. That, of course, will take quite a long time. So in the meantime, there will be heightened levels of distress, I'm sure, and a triggering of memories and difficult experiences that many of these women continue to live with. One of the challenges that they face is that for most of these women, because most of their perpetrators were not Australian, and these women were abused before they arrived in Australia, they do not have access to the federal government's support for trafficked people program. That requires a nexus between the survivor and Australia, which is absent in these particular cases. So they, while they have received resettlement supports, many of these women continue to deal with the long-term consequences of the trauma of enslavement with little to no support from government.
How long do you think these slavery cases could go on for?
That's a question really of the preparedness of the police and the Director of Public Prosecutions. Typically, though, it would be looking at years. It might be possible that that be accelerated. Of course, there is a presumption of innocence here, and the individuals who've been charged will be entitled to make their own representations as part of the process. So there are many unknowns at this point.
Why do you think it's so important to pursue these cases?
There's a very big lack of awareness currently that slavery remains a problem. We have perhaps 41,000 people in Australia who are victims of modern slavery. People like these Yazidi women, but also people who are enslaved here in Australia, victims of forced labour, forced marriage, human trafficking, all around us in industries as diverse as cleaning, construction, agriculture, horticulture, aged care even. This is a powerful signal that the rule of law will stand and that we will bring perpetrators to justice. That said, it does beg questions why this case in particular is being pursued. We had more than 400 matters of slavery accepted as reports by the federal police last year, and yet we only see around 50 convictions ever secured in Australia over the course of the prosecutions. That suggests that there's a need to increase the resourcing to the investigators and prosecutors that are bringing these prosecutions to allow them to pursue this with the same alacrity that they're going after these heinous cases that occurred overseas.
Dr. James Cocaine, thank you for being my guest this morning.
My pleasure. Thank you, Sally.
Dr. Cocaine is the New South Wales Anti-Slavery Commissioner.